Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, you old boot.
Hi.
Got it first. Got him.
Guys been calling me an old boot.
I have. This is our podcast, Suggestible. Hello.
I suggest that face app that makes you look old. So you look at it and you go, oh, God.
Don't. It's like looking into your future.
It is awful. Terrifying. Because you know what I think it is?
What?
It's like we're all going to die. It's like a reminder of that.
Correct.
It's like this is you one day. Like this is all a facade,
yeah,
what you look
I
like
don't
now.
Think that human beings should be able to look into their future old selves. I think it's really bad for us. I think it's doing something to your psyche. Mm. Anyway, I'm Claire Totti and you're James Clement. And this is Suggestible Pod. And we do what on this show, James?
We suggest things, a couple of things each. Could be a book, could be a movie, could be an app.
Staring in your own, into your own inevitable mortality.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. We're just a pair of old boots, both of us. We're both old boots, aren't we, Claire?
It's so fun to say. You're an old boot.
You're an old boot.
I love it. I think it's because we did that podcast, Book Cheat, this week, and they were talking about fishing and pulling up old boots.
Oh, yeah, we did do Book Cheat. People should check
we
that
did.
Out.
We did The
Dave
Old Man
Warnick
in the
is,
Sea.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good recommendation. Suggestible, whatever this is called.
It is.
We'll link that below.
Correct. Yeah. Well, you got in sneakily fast with your recommendation of the Face app. But still,
that wasn't a real recommendation.
All right, gentlemen's first.
Okay,
go on,
I got a real
shoot.
One. Okay.
You old boot.
I finally got around to watching Rocket Man.
Ooh.
Which has been out for ages, but it's not doing very well, like financially, which is a shame because it's much better than Bohemian Rhapsody.
You look like you feel really sad about that.
Well, you know what? Elton John has everyone's money, so it's fine. He'll be fine. It's fine. But, It's fun. I talked a little bit about this on the Weekly Planet, but it's the same director as, well, not sort. It's sort of the same director as Bohemian Rhapsody because the director of Bohemian Rhapsody, Bryan Singer, who's the worst, he left and for various reasons, personal and professional. Also, he's a terrible person and probably a sex criminal,
a sex pest.
So,
oh no,
yeah.
That seems to be a very common recurring theme.
Oh yeah, it's half of Hollywood and maybe the world even. It seems.
Yay,
but
the world's a fun place
yeah.
to be.
So
in.
Dexter Fletcher stepped in as a director. Who
I
you
like
might
his name?
Do you remember Press Gang? The show Press Gang?
Nah.
Okay, never mind. Dexter Fletcher. Do you remember me and you seeing him in a market in London in 2008?
No, I don't. You know, I don't have a memory for a lot of things. Also, I don't. Actually, I have a vague recollection. Was it at Notting Hill?
Something like that.
Yeah, because that was the only market we went to in London.
Okay, then yes, it was.
And I vaguely remember you having a brain melt.
Yeah, because it's Dexter Fletcher,
and me not
actor
giving
and director.
A F.
Yeah. Anyway, he directed Rocket Man as well. So he came in and finished off Bohemian Rhapsody. And then he did this movie. And this movie is, you've seen it as well, haven't you?
Correct.
Yeah, so it's less kind of, and then this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened.
It's less like a biopic.
Yeah, because they kind of play fast and loose with the music at different times. So they're not tied into, well, he wrote this song at this time, and he only met this person at this time, so they had to have, and he didn't even know this song because this song came out 3 years after. There's none of that, so you don't need to worry about it. It's kind of him doing a loose retelling. It's Taron Egerton, who people would know from Egerton? I can't remember. Egerton. He's from the Kingsman movies. He's also in that movie where him and Hugh Jackman go skiing together and he jumps real far. Eddie the Eagle.
Oh, I love Eddie the Eagle. That is a great suggestible.
Really
you're getting a lot in. You're three.
Thank you.
So far.
But so he plays Elton John. He doesn't really look like Elton John, but
except for the balding, they do that well.
They do that. Oh, there's so many great balding. He's got a series of balding wigs, and that's the thing about this movie because it was supposed to be made in like the early 2000s. Elton John. I'd kind of been pushing it to get it done.
Because it's his concept, right? He is the driver behind
I believe
how he
so.
Wants to do
and
it.
And they wanted to do it as kind of a PG kind of thing. But it's R-rated. And I think Elton John said something like, because there was nothing about my life was PG. Because it's got, you know, it covers a lot of drug use and gay sex and things like that. And nothing like incredibly graphic. You know
no,
what I mean?
No, but, and that kind of, I guess it's R-rated for the drug use. Because to me, I feel like the sex scenes.
It's pretty tame.
It's very tame. Mm. I mean, I guess obviously the way that they depict them because they are gay sex scenes between two blokes. But I didn't think they were R-rated.
No.
I think there's a lot more explicit stuff.
If you want more explicit gay sex stuff about a closeted music professional, you can watch that Liberace movie with Michael Douglas.
And his terrible manager. They all have terrible
managers.
They
all have terrible managers.
It's like that Netflix doco about Amy Winehouse.
Yeah,
I've
got to watch that. Yeah.
That I'm sneaking in another one, suggestible. That is just so heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And it really shines a light on how much the music industry, and I'm assuming other industries as well, just use up creatives and spit them out at the other
end.
They
just wring him out like he's doing six shows a week.
Like there's horrible like kind of guys in there who, and mainly men actually, who are all about the money and just pushing them to do things that
so
I don't
want to do. Amy Winehouse's dad was a big driving force as well behind her.
He was, but it wasn't just him.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was sort of her record label and her management, everyone. Like there's a story in that doco where she is so strung out on drugs that she's passed out in her flat, but they need her to go over to Europe to do this massive festival. And so what they do is they can't revive her, so they just put her on a private jet, completely out to it, and then put her on a stage. And the footage of watching her stumble around that stage, because they were making money out of her image being this kind of drugged out sort of mess.
Yeah, they killed her, definitely.
Yeah.
But I also think it was the public, because the public perception at the time was like, ah, oh, she's some, look at Amy Winehouse,
party,
what's she up
coke,
to now?
Sniffing,
and
it, whatever.
And she died inevitably, obviously.
Of an overdose.
Yeah, and then everyone's like, oh, wait a minute. Maybe we shouldn't have just kind of made light of this whole situation. And
laughed at her. And because it became so much more about her as an image, which is, I guess, what is in Elton John in the Rocketman show, that he's so much about this stage image and persona.
Yeah.
And he's so much larger than life that you forget that he's actually a human being.
Yeah, exactly. It is kind of warts it all, and even things like you mentioned the hair. Like the hair loss is like not a big part of it, but
you're obsessed with the hair loss.
No, I just think you don't really, because he's a vain man. You know what I mean? In real life, you know what I mean? Because he's had hair plugs and wigs and whatever.
Yeah.
But they chronicle kind of that, and I think that's unusual. Like you don't really see especially someone who's the driving creative force, and go, nah, put all the hair loss stuff in and whatever, and and how people call me ugly and all those kind of stuff, but there's a few things I really liked about it as well, like his relationship with his writing partner, who is the guy, the Billy Elliot guy. He's a full-blown man, but
Billy Elliot's a great
Director. Yeah, and they have a fascinating kind of relationship, and how one of them bears the brunt of the public persona and being Elton John, the other one's writing the lyrics and getting a lot of the money, but not the fame.
He lives on a ranch, right?
I have no idea.
You get the idea that he's this very steady, calm guy. And you talked about that scene where Elton John comes out to him basically and says he's gay.
And the guy's just like, all right. Like it's...
like really chilled out about it.
Which was obviously... I mean, I don't know whether that exactly happened, but he obviously knew and didn't care because they're still friends. But the way they handle stuff, because he gets married, and I think he's actually been married a couple of times, but they show one in this... to a woman, I should say. He's also married to a man at the moment. He's very happy in the relationship. They've got a couple of kids. But the way that they show the breakdown of that relationship is they get married and then they kind of wake up together in separate rooms, and then the next scene they're at the kitchen table together and they just sort of start like silently crying, and he's like, I'm sorry. And that's it. Because she knows that he's gay and he knows that she knows, and there's not really, you don't need people throwing plates of food at each other, and do you know what I mean? It's just kind of done really quietly and quickly.
And respectfully.
Because he speaks well of her like today. After you watch these things, you look up a lot of like, how much of this is true and who's this person and what do they look like now?
How much is
evolving? I've talked for too long.
People
should see Rocketman. It's still in theaters, but probably not for long, but you can probably wait.
It's just such a great reminder of how brilliant the music is. Oh, I mean, I felt like that after the Queen movie as well. I went back and listened to
Freddie. Undoubtedly that is the best part of that movie. And the performance is good,
But just and also the costumes. Oh, my goodness. They basically create all of Elton John's costumes, recreate them, and when you go and Google the originals, they're identical, and they're just bloody incredible, like giant glittery wings and crazy helmets, and he comes out as the queen at one point.
Yes.
It's just this whole era that I never really saw as a kid. I didn't grow up with his music. My parents were really into classical music. So it's this kind of great look at
rockers. And it was also like the Elton John that we had growing up was like the 90s Lion King, Candle in the Wind Elton John.
Correct.
It wasn't this Elton John.
No.
You know? And it was interesting, even things like they talk about how he was responsible for like 4 or 5% of record sales in the world at the time. And that is like, you can't even, like, you know he's big, which has kind of surprised me why this movie hasn't been doing better. I guess maybe the Bohemian Rhapsody kind of took the wind out of this, and because it's R-rated, you know,
you can't take anybody. You wouldn't really take young kids.
Or it might put off a person going to it. Maybe, like if you're a, you know, a grandma or whatever, go to a...
And you're sort of worried about how explicit it might
be. Exactly.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is too. But it's definitely worth seeing.
Yeah.
It's incredible. You're right. And to see that type of Elton John and just the scale of the record sales.
Yeah.
Whoa, so insane.
Yeah.
And then the idea that his writing partner has written some of the most iconic lyrics of all time. I still don't know who he is or what he looks like.
I Googled him, but even then, if he walked in the room now, I can't remember.
Okay. You should Google that.
I'll Google it while you do your next.
All right, okay, here I go.
Bernie Taupin. Sorry,
Bernie Taupin.
Taupin. Yeah. I don't know. Sorry, keep going.
He's got it. Like I can't even. That name is like Teflon. It doesn't stick in my head.
It really
Bernie
does it.
Taupin.
Yeah.
Okay. Good on you, Bernie
Taupin.
Good lyrics.
Yes.
Your song. What's your favorite Elton John song?
Your song, definitely.
Yeah. Correct. Love it. Excellent. Also, the Saturday Night song.
It's a great song.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Anyway, Catherine Ryan, the comedian, I really loved her Netflix special, Room. I mean, I liked the other one as well. She sort of is really surprising. She looks a bit like Taylor Swift. She kind of comes out, she's Canadian. She comes out in like gorgeous kind of blonde hair, beautiful clothes, but she's a single mum and really like darkly funny, self-deprecating, but also not like quite kind of confident in the way that she talks about her life and her choices. She has a hilarious bit about kind of, you know, those intense mums at school, which I really loved. And the way she describes this mum who's like hounding her, who's like the head of the like parent committee and wants her to bake all these baked stuff and everything. She describes her husband as the colour of ham.
He's always in a bike helmet.
Ham-coloured bike rider. And I just love that idea. For some reason, it made me laugh so much.
Yeah.
It just like really describe people in their middle-aged
people.
It's
really funny. I only played it because I saw you'd watched it because I saw it in the whatever. Watch again. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll check this out. Because I watched a bit of Aziz Ansari's new one. I'm like, oh, this ain't much. But that Catherine.
Oh, I've never done that sentiment before. That was a great one. Yeah.
You know, we saw him in concert like a few years back. But this new one is just like, it feels very forced. And just it's also not very funny. Anyway, Catherine Ryan, though.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah.
Really funny. I loved the way she talked about it. She grew up in Canada, but kind of the arse end of Canada.
Yeah.
So her hometown sounds terrible. She talks about her sister, who's this Canadian hippie who lives in the motions and like sews her own clothes and knits her own undies or something and has a moon cup. And, you know, just I love that. And then her younger sister and her relationship with her and then her parents. And it's just a really like great look at what it means to be a woman, I think, in your 30s as well and be a single parent.
And you talked about the discrepancies between being a single parent as a man or a woman. Because there is a difference because there is that kind of eligibility factor of like a single man who's doing it by himself with his kids and whatever. There's definitely that element.
Yeah.
But it's not so much the reverse. It's kind of expected or like, oh, that poor woman.
Or not even that. It's more like, ooh, she couldn't keep on to her partner.
Mm.
Like often that's actually the reaction. It's not even pity. It's like she failed somehow because she ended up pregnant and alone, whether or not it's because her marriage failed. And often if marriages fail, often it tends to be this judgment. And I think sometimes it's other women that do this, like, judgment around how why that marriage failed or whatever. Yeah.
Well, I feel like I get kudos for things that you that you don't. Like I like when I take him to like the cafe, which you know, which I do quite often.
Yeah. Because like, we'll he's your son.
Yeah, he's my son. They're like, oh, you're looking after him today. And I'm like, yeah, because he's my fucking son.
Yeah.
Because I live with him. I see him every day.
Yeah. And you get literally, I've watched.
Does anyone ever say to you, oh, you're looking after your son today?
No, yeah. Of course they bloody don't. And you're like, you'll go up to the shops and go shopping and I see people's faces like, oh, what a good dad. And then
maybe it's just because I'm around during the day because you know, I work from home.
No, it's a genuine thing. Also, women love to see blokes with kids, like looking after kids and babies. Oh, mate, it's such a thing for women, massively. Whereas I don't think the same thing for blokes necessarily. See a woman with three kids and go, oh, well, there's a bit of all right. You know, I don't think it's definitely a double standard. And she talks a lot about that. I also really love the way she described how she's decided that she's just taken herself off the dating scene because she loves men, but she doesn't like them in her house.
Yes.
And I just thought that was really funny. Anyway, highly recommend Katherine Ryan, Glitter Room on Netflix.
You turned it off, though, before the Hamilton bit.
Yeah, you warned me.
I was
thank
like, spoils Hamilton. Because I know you want to see it.
Yes.
I think it's probably the weakest bit of the show as well. That being said, it feels like a story that didn't happen, But it's great. It's really good.
Yeah, and In Trouble is her probably first Ryan.
Okay, I haven't seen that. I should watch that
one. Yeah, you should watch that. All right, moving along.
How much time we got?
We got plenty of time. Great. It's 15 minutes. Go, awesome. Go, go.
Okay, this is an old book that it's one of my favorites, but I thought I'd bring it back because I'm such a good dad. I'm reading Fantastic Mr. Fox to our son at the moment. By Roald Dahl, because I thought maybe he's ready for like a slightly longer, more novelized kind of
chapter
book, which he sort of is. He really enjoys it, which is good. And it's got pictures, I guess it helps. But look, Roald Dahl may be anti-Semitic. That's entirely possible. Do go on to an episode about him, and like there's some definite gray area. But you know he's from a different era. He's a war veteran, and he
used to write from his house.
Yes,
not his house.
With a pen and all.
I mean,
he had ideas. And he would think of those ideas and he would use a typewriter to bring them to life. And then he'd send those words to a publisher.
All right, all right. I do have two fun Roald Dahl facts before
then
you
Then they'd
going.
Bind them in Shut a book.
Shut up, you old boot.
Hey.
Hey, it's so fun. It works on so many levels. It's affectionate and insulting. Anyway, Roald Dahl had a little shack out the back and he had this very specific way of writing in this big chair that he would kind of enclose himself in with like all these like fluffy blankets and a special table, and he would always write with grey lead pen. I don't know why I'm pencil. Not grey lead pen. Grey lead pencil. And the other thing I find interesting about Roald Dahl is that he would carry a book with him everywhere.
Mm.
And the idea for Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, ostensibly one of his most famous books, just came about because he was driving and the idea popped into his head. So he pulled the car over and wrote one line, a little boy grows up in a chocolate factory in this book. And then he came back to it like a year later or so and started to write the story. And I just love that idea that he was just walking around a bit like if you've ever read the BFG, kind of like collecting dreams, the way
yeah,
that,
right,
like collecting
yeah.
ideas and storing them.
It's such a better – Mason actually does a similar thing with the things that he's – like he carries an actual notebook. I think I should do that because I just write notes in my phone. I look back and I'm like, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
It's like serendipitous and then it says like 4 to 7. And I'm like, what does that
yeah,
mean?
Is
that a food I'm supposed to buy?
We had a pad of sticky notes in our bedroom and there's just something like that written down, like serendipity and lots of numbers. Yeah. And I asked you, I'm like, what actually is this?
Not a password. I don't know. But
one
anyway,
day
yeah, it doesn't matter.
When
anyway,
you're an old man.
The book I'm recommending is Charlie and the Great Glass Elevator. Just kidding, that book sucks. That's the worst book.
Anyway.
I'm not a fan of either, though, a huge fan of either of those books.
No, come on. Okay. Get snapping, Miss Fantastic.
The
Ms.
Wonderful
Fox.
Story of Henry Sugar. And the reason I like this book, it's a collection of short stories, but one of them, I think the first one in it is, and it's called this. The book is called that, and there's a collection of short stories, and one of the short stories is also called The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar. But basically, it's about a man, like a rich man who has everything, and he's at a house party and in a mansion, and he's bored, so he wanders the library, and he kind of wants for nothing, but he kind of also has nothing, and he picks a book off a shelf, and then it's kind of a book within a book because it's a handwritten notebook about a man who learns through meditation to perform tricks, things like he could cover his eyes, but he could still see. So like he could completely, you know, and they talk about how they wrap his head up and he can still ride a bike around him, whatever. So he reads this book and then he thinks, well, okay, I'm going to give this a go. So he trains himself to see through playing cards so he can make more money. So he doesn't go out for like 5 years. He just sits at home and stares into a flame and meditates until he can look through playing cards. So then by the time it's done, he goes out to the casino and he wins a bunch of money. But then he's kind of like, what am I doing? Like, through this meditation and introspectiveness over years, he's realized that, you know, he has this great power, but he's got no purpose.
Just like you, Mr. Sunday Movies, staring into your laptop for 5 years.
5 years, and then being like, maybe I should steal from a casino. Yeah. So then what he ends up doing, and I am spoiling it, so skip ahead if you want, but he uses his abilities to go around the world and win money and then give them to charity. And that's kind of so it's this incredible book, and I've always loved it since I was a kid, and it just reminded me I think it's a good life lesson, and it's a good kind of, I don't know, it's just a good fun kind of tale, and it's a book within a book as well.
Yeah, you love books of short stories.
I do.
And actually, I do too, because it's snappy. You can read one, you can dip in and out, and sometimes you might not come back to it for ages, but if it's short, then you've read a complete story in one setting.
Yes.
So you don't do that thing where sometimes with books, if I put it down for too long, I can't remember where I started from and I get confused with the characters. I have a suggestible too, moving right along.
Okay, I'm ready.
We're in 19 minutes. I love that book. I'm going to read Henry Sugar.
You've read
again.
That before though, haven't you?
Yeah. You've recommended it to me sporadically over like the many years that I've known you.
Yes.
I love it. It's great. I've got a book too. It's called Today Will Be Different by Maria Semple. Have you heard of Maria Semple?
I have not.
Okay, so she's actually a TV writer and she wrote on Saturday Night Live. She wrote Mad About You with the wonderful Helen Hunt and Paul Reiser.
That's right.
I love that TV show, by the way, the 90s. Brilliant.
Never really
loved
saw
it.
But it's in the Seinfeld universe.
Yeah. Oh, is it in the same universe?
Absolutely.
And I think Phoebe from Friends is in it.
Yeah, because Ursula is in it, Phoebe's sister or something.
Yeah, so is it in the same universe as Friends?
I guess
anyway, it's set in New York. Anyway, that's not what I'm recommending. So she was a writer on that. She also wrote for Beverly Hills 90210, for Arrested Development, which I know is one of your favourite shows, for Ellen, and also Suddenly Susan. Do you remember Suddenly Susan?
I remember Suddenly Susan.
Throwback. Yeah, so she's a TV writer and she became a novelist.
She's been around a while then.
Yeah, she's been around a while. She's in her 50s, 55. But she also wrote a really famous book called, well, famous around Seattle, called Where'd You Go, Bernadette? And it's all about how much she hates Seattle. And it's still one of the top-selling books in Seattle, even though she just rips Seattle to shreds in it. So she's very kind of funny. Anyway, the book I'm recommending, Today Will Be Different, is one of my favourites. It's set over just one day. And the protagonist, Eleanor, is an animator who wrote like a children's TV series that became really famous. And since then, she's done nothing much else. She's trying to write a graphic memoir about the Flood Girls, who were like historically in her family. But really, she's a screwball with a soul who's trying to make her life work and live her best life, in inverted commas. And it just all goes completely.
Is she a likable protagonist?
She's very likable. Mm. Yeah, she's very likable. And her life kind of spins out of control.
At the start of the book, she's late for work and she's hopping around an apartment trying to put her boots on, and then she falls over and then she runs into work with the coffee and everyone's already in the meeting and they're like, you're late, Catherine, whatever your name is. What are you doing? Catherine can never get it together, can she?
No, I want to read you just the opening line. I read you the opening line of the book because it's so funny? So I just want to read it to you because it jumps straight in. Here we go.
Okay.
Because the other way wasn't working. The waking up just to get the day over with until it was time for bed. The grinding it out was a disgrace, an affront to the honour and long shot of being alive at all. The ghost walking, the short-tempered distraction, the hurried fog, all of this I'm just assuming because I have no idea how I come across. My consciousness is that underground like a toad in winter. The leaving the world a worse place just by being in it, the blindness to the destruction in my wake, the Mr. Magoo. If I'm forced to be honest, here's an account of how I left the world last week. Worse, worse, better, worse, same, worse, same.
That's really good.
And
sounds about right.
Yeah, and it's so great because you kind of just leap into it. She jumps off the page. She's got this really kind of gorgeous son, Timby, who she drops at school. Then he calls
in sick.
Her? No, that's how it's... No. Anyway, and he's very kind of like calm and genuine and flat to her like crazy manicness. Mm. She's a bit menopausal, a little bit like all over the place, but she has really kind of sharp sort of critique of the Seattle, like, because she's quite wealthy, so it's sort of like a sharp look at like the wealthy ridiculousness of people and the yoga pant wearing, you know, mums with their coffee cups and
those losers.
Yeah, no, not just that. It is, and her husband, she suspects, is having an affair, and it kind of just tumbles along in this ridiculous way and then jumps into the past. She has a crazy sister who lives in New Orleans, and it jumps a little bit into her world. But it's just a rollicking good time, and it's all set over one day. And it's just, there's a lot of very funny lines. It's an easy read, not too long.
Did you just start this like between last week and this week? So you
No, started? I'd read this. This is one I've read previously. But I jumped back into it because sometimes I just like to jump back into it because
absolutely.
It makes me giggle.
Because
it's that whole idea really of, you know, that starting your day always thinking that it's going to be better than the day before. And I mean, I don't know if you can relate
and it
to
never
this.
Is.
Yeah. It's always, well, it's just like with all the good intentions that you have set up, and it doesn't, it all just kind of comes tumbling down into a bowl of ice cream watching Netflix at 9 p.m.
Sure.
And the morning starts off with you thinking that you'll go for a run at 5 a.m. or something.
I'm never under any illusions of any of that stuff.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, you completely let any of that go.
Yeah.
I reckon.
I have a rough idea of what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I know. Well, just because you're
no, I'm just saying. Because
and you get it all.
No, I just set my expectations were low. That's why.
You just know it's you're going to be a real grumpy son of a bee.
It's not me ticking off goals all day and it's no.
No. You see, was I am a goal writer. And
I know you are.
Person.
You're the night before you're like, I think I'm going to go to the gym at 5:30. I'm like, okay. Well, yeah, good luck. All right. You've never gone.
I know, never. So I guess the whole point, as I've gotten older, I've set my expectations for myself lower. So
I just think, not lower, it's realistic. You don't have to get up at 5:30. That's insane. You don't have to get up at 5:30 either, so why would you?
That's
it doesn't make
very
any
true.
Sense.
Yeah.
I don't get why people are like, you should start your day early. What the fuck are you talking about? Get up when you have to get up.
You do that. You get up at like 9:30.
Yeah, I've always got up at like the last second.
Yeah,
that
I know.
Need to be
when
up.
You had to be at work at like 8 o'clock or whatever, you would literally have 15 minutes. You would like get up, step into your pants, eating your cereal as you
I'm
walk
ready,
out the door.
Man.
I need a bit of time to enter into the world.
My night time is that. So that's when I unwind. So if I'm getting up at 5:30, that means I'm going to bed at 9, and that's not happening.
No.
Ever.
No, because you come alive.
I do,
We went to a Christmas in July over the weekend, and it was like midnight, 1 a.m. by the time we like left, and you were just the chattiest you've ever been. I talk to you more and get more out of you at 1 a.m.
That's true.
Than any other time of day. It's very odd.
Yeah.
And you don't drink caffeine or anything. It's like your brain comes like...
Don't I drink caffeine
into
though?
Life.
Oh, not
oh,
at night.
Oh, now
I,
you're
not,
Coke bloody
no, not
zeros.
At, not at night. Not at
drinking
night,
your
I
poison.
Don't, to be fair.
Oh, okay. Well, we're at 26 minutes. We don't have long to go. So, James,
we've got some
what
recommendations
else?
From people who have written in. People can write into at SuggestiblePod on Twitter or on Instagram. This
Correct.
Is from Brad. He says, hey, guys, we are reading the wonderful Frankie Fish book, books by Peter Hallier.
Hey.
With my six-year-old daughter. Chapters are the perfect length for bedtime and a fun, entertaining read. So there you go. He's a local comedian.
Who works with
TV
Dave Warnicki from BookChain on
That's
the
right.
project.
Exactly, yeah.
All right, I have another recommendation called Last Breath. It's a doco. It's from Sam Francis W. on Twitter. Thank you so much, Sam.
Thanks, Sam.
And it's a doco about saturation divers off the Scottish coast.
What's a saturation diver?
So I'm pretty sure, because I haven't watched it yet, but it's, you know, I think you're diving without any equipment. So you dive like
so you're swimming,
right
I get it.
Down. It's a doco about swimming. No, you dive down to like a certain amount of oxygen saturation and the human body can cope at that level. I think that's what saturation diving
Deep
is.
Deep sea diving, in which diver's bloodstream is saturated with helium or other suitable gas at the pressure of the surrounding water, so the decompression time afterwards is independent of the duration of the dive.
I had no idea what that means.
They use tanks.
Okay, it sounds dangerous though.
Sounds easy.
Well, anyway, it's called The Last Breath. So thanks, Sam, for that reco. And just quickly as well, I don't know if anyone listened to the episode last week where I was trying to figure out what that movie was with Claudia Carvin, but Jack, so Free Will and Jack Kemper on Instagram, sent me a message and said it's called Dating the Enemy.
Oh, it is
it's
called Dating the Enemy.
It's a film from 1996.
That is
and he really loved
correct.
It and really helped him in his life. So thank you so much, Jack, for sending that in. We really appreciate it and we really appreciate you.
Me?
Well, not you specifically.
Thanks, Jack.
I meant Jack. Oh. We have still got 2 more minutes.
Oh,
God.
I know. I have a couple other recommendations. Sneaky ones.
We can just end it. We don't
no,
have to.
No, no. I can't sneak it in.
Because I got to read a review.
Oh, you're so busy. Oh, you got to read reviews.
Well, I got one.
All right. Okay. Let me do a quick recommendation. Okay. One is for an album by Frank Sinatra called In the Wee Small Hours. Have you heard of it, James?
I've heard of his terrible movies.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. You've watched 1,000 of them for Caravan of
Garbage.
I've
watched two. And all right. They're both anyway. The worst movie for different
all right.
reasons.
Okay. Well, this isn't a movie. This is something else called music, James. And I happen to really love jazz and blues and swing and those kind of things. And this album is one of my favorites. It's a concept album. So it was back in the 1950s when they didn't really have concept albums very often. And this was an album that he created after he broke up with Ava Gardner famously. And so the whole album is kind of like bittersweet and about loneliness and sadness, but it's just really all encompassing. And if you're sitting at home on a rainy day and you feel like kind of listening to something moody and bluesy, it's just a really great album. It's really cool. One of my favorite songs on it is I Get Along Without You Very Well and Mood Indigo. And ooh. Nina Simone, who is another one of my favorite singers, has done a cover of I Get Along Without You Very Well, which is also brilliant. So I recommend those two.
Excellent.
I mean, I know they're very famous singers, but that particular album is not quite as well known.
Mm. I'm glad Frank Sinatra's dead. Okay. This is from...
You're a bloody not a very
I wake
nice
up every
person.
Day and I'm like, thank God Frank Sinatra is gone.
Today will not be different because Frank Sinatra is dead.
That's right.
He was all...
I know. What was that? Wasn't that the other one? Wasn't that Bing?
Oh, yeah, that was Bing.
I don't know. I just hate him because I hate his movies that I've watched and then...
Those movies are terrible.
So terrible.
Okay, we're at 30
okay,
minutes.
Sorry. Thank you. If you want to review the show, you can just do it on your app. Go for it. Give it a bloody 5 stars if you like. We appreciate it.
Right
Help us on the charts
wazoo.
And all that. This is from Fisto Fire. Says, the cool chemistry between these co-hosts. The cool chemistry these co-hosts have is so chill, plus the weird Australian humor vibe. Chef's kiss. Also
I
great
love
suggestions.
That.
Yeah.
Thanks, mate. Chef's kiss.
Chef's kiss. That's the thing we say on the Weekly Planet.
I really enjoy. Oh yeah, Mason always loves.
Mason
to go,
says chef's kiss, and I say a chef's kiss. You say that's what happens.
Clearly, I don't listen to.
We're back next week after we've seen the new Lion King, I guess.
Not the venue. I'm gonna hate it so much.
I cannot muster the enthusiasm to go to the theater to see it.
I know because I hate CGI animals. I famously hate them.
You
so
hate
much.
Talking CGI animals.
Correct. I hate talking CGI animals. Yeah. I didn't mind the tiger in Life of Pi. But it doesn't
talk. It wasn't like, hello, Brendan. Is that the kid's name on the boat? I don't remember. We're stuck on this boat together.
It's remarkably similar to The Old Man and the Sea, actually.
No.
No, it's not. The Young Man and the Tiger.
Yeah.
Anywho, that's it from us. Follow us at Suggestible Pod on Instagram and Twitters.
You're at Mrs. Sunday Movies and what's your bloody Instagram?
And then on Instagram, I'm at Claire Tonti. I should change it, but probably won't. I like to be there. I'm not on Twitter very often. And also I have another podcast called Just Make the Thing if you want to check that out. You're Mrs. Sunday Movies on YouTube and all the platforms.
That's
and
right.
on the Weekly Planet.
That's right. Our Comic Con episode this weekend.
You'll be fine. You just have also a live show as well. Mm. How did you? Why? Why did you do that to yourself? I checked with you. I said,
stupid.
What dates could we do?
Because I'm stupid, Claire. Is that what you want? Is that what you want to hear?
Every goddamn minute of the day.
All right.
Okay. Thanks for calling for editing this episode.
Good man. Okay. Goodbye.
Bye, you old boot.
You're a fucking old boot.
Don't swear. Jeez.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.